Welcome back to Horizons. Mark Flanagan, welcome to Horizons.
Thanks for having me.
I understand you have a new book that's after releasing.
Yes, I did a selection of poems which just came out early September, and I dedicated it to my mother, Mary, who passed early 2020. So it speaks of loss and remembrance of people that we had in our lives.
You're a local man.
I am. I'm living in Ballard here in Tralee since I was born.
Your book has themes of mental health. Is this important to you?
It is important to me because I was diagnosed in early 2000 with Asperger's syndrome by Professor Fitzgerald. And I'm influenced by other writers that suffered from it as well, especially the likes of Emily Dickinson, who influenced me a lot when I was a teenager.
So Asperger's, that's part of the autism spectrum, is it?
That's right, yeah. But I'm mostly affected when I'm in bigger crowds, and I kind of keep secluded, really. It's where I can cope and think on a normal level for myself. But when I'm in crowds, I'm kind of lost. I look like I'm a lost soul.
Is it sort of like a sensory overload when you're in crowds?
Yes, it's a bit of a sensory overload at times. But I learned how to cope with it at times as well. As you get older, you learn techniques and different things to help you through.
Do you use any sort of sensory blocking tools?
No, from meditation and stuff, I just center myself on one point in the wall or something like that. If I'm trying to concentrate about something I'm thinking, I don't look around too much because of overload sensory perception, really.
That's very interesting. I know some autistic people who have noise-canceling headphones that they tend to wear around to block out the volume of the kind of world around them.
Yeah, I've never spoken about my condition really before because I'm very private. But as I get older, I'm kind of coming to terms with things in my life, really. But I want to speak for people who are on the autistic spectrum and other people that suffer from other conditions as well, because they really need to be spoken about and have a voice, really. We don't speak about it much, really, nowadays.
Would it just be noises you have sensitivities to, or would it also be like light?
It's more to do when you're in crowds and stuff like that, and sound. Yeah, sound is a big thing. And especially even light and different things can set me off, or I get very agitated or anxious, and I can't speak, really. I just stay very quiet.
Oh, that's understandable.
I kind of go in-world kind of thing, inside myself, really, where I'm suffering, really. You seem to get through it. You just learn to get through it, but you're not very happy inside, you know, when you go through those things. They might only last for moments, but it takes a whole day then to get over it.
So this book is dedicated to your mother. Was she an important figure in your life?
She was a very important figure in my life because I was supposed to go to St. Joseph's when I was very young, but she wanted me to have a normal education and not to be singled out as having a condition or any disability, really. She knew me better than most people, so she got me through very tough times as a kid. Especially even when I went to St. Brendan's in Brinnville, I had a lot of problems trying to get on with other kids my own age because I was so overloaded by the sensory stuff, and it was really tough, really tough.
So when you were very upset, you just sort of had trouble controlling yourself as a child?
Yeah, exactly. Most of my childhood was like spent my time in daydreams and stuff like that.
I think that's fairly common. Did you get a formal diagnosis of this? Because I understand it can be quite hard to do it when you're an adult.
When during the 80s, I think it was just more seen as a slow learner. Later, as I went on, I learned I had dyslexia and different things like that. It's just that you learn in a different way and you need different ways of teaching people that, you know, have different ways of learning. That's all.
Yeah.
You can't really single yourself out as being a label as something, but it's just that you need more time and care and dedication from teachers just to help people, like, you know, when you have learning difficulties.
Yeah. I know myself, I have different ways of learning too. And one big killer for me is if people start listing things, if they start counting things off on their fingers, or especially for directions, by the time they get to the third thing on the list, I've stopped listening. So if it's a 10 item list, by the third one, I've just turned off.
Of course.
So if people are sending me directions, I'm just like, give me the address, I'll look it up on Google Maps.
Yeah.
And if it's a shopping list, I'm like, okay, I need to write this down or I'm not going to remember what you're telling me.
I understand. For me, I have to have kind of pre-planned everything before I do it. So I don't like surprises, really.
Oh, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, I don't know how to cope with it, really. But if it's pre-planned and goes to schedule, I'm pretty relaxed about everything.
I'm a huge fan of Google Calendar and putting absolutely everything. Like our appointment today, I had it in Google Calendar. Every single interview, I have it all blocked out just to make sure I don't double book anyone. So I don't forget anything. Everything is scheduled. Everything is planned. Otherwise, I'd fall apart. I'd have no idea what I was doing. I would have forgotten you were coming to me today.
Yeah. My wife was trying to get me to do that, but I tried to memorize everything. So I don't normally forget things. Dates, anyway. Yeah.
I think there's no surer sign I'm going to forget something than when I say to myself, I'll definitely remember that. I don't need to write that down.
Yeah, I think we're all guilty of that. I think I forget certain things at times as well, even though you don't like to admit it. Yeah.
So do you want to tell me about your book?
When we went through a period there in 2020, I had more time in my hands and I decided just to put thoughts down and just write them out. And when I started that, I couldn't really stop. So I have 60 pages in this book. I used to normally write once a month or something like that, just for when I got too much sensory overload. This was an outlet, trying to just deal with my emotions. And when I wrote something, it was kind of cleared out of my system. So this was kind of a way of dealing with problems and pressures to write. So during 2020, during the lockdown, I wrote this book. And my mom had passed early in that year, actually, just at the time of COVID. So that's why I dedicated this to her, to kind of just, because she was such an amazing person in my life and a lot of people in Tralee, really. She was great to help old people on her road and Kearney's Road in Ballard. She was great to a lot of people, very generous to poor people. And she'd even bring people when they had no place to sleep to stay in the kitchen and just sleep on the floor. So she was really a good person. So I just wanted to remember her by the influence she had in me by writing this book.
Oh, that's lovely. I don't know, is your mother named by name on the book?
Mary Flanagan is her name. And my father was William. They were well known around the town of Tralee as being very good people.
So Mary and William of Ballard. I imagine there is a lot of people who would have known them. They sounded like they did wonderful work.
They did. They were really good people to help people as well. And just, it rubbed off in my brother and my sister as well. They're good people. A lot of people in Tralee are good. They try to help people. But we're of that generation still from the 80s that we try to help the people we know anyway, and other people that might need help. I'm sure a lot of people are like that.
A great sense of community. Where can people get your book?
They can get it on Amazon. I have hard copies myself where I can sign them for people, but if you want to look it up on Amazon, just Mark Flanagan. The book is Echoes in the Wind, Poetry.
Excellent.
And you can get it on Kindle, or you can get a hard copy or paperback.
Very good. And I had a look at it myself, and it's got lovely, glossy, high-quality paper. Though it looks very good. I know I can't show it to you on the radio, but trust me.
I don't know if many people are into poetry nowadays, but it's a great outlet for people. I know there's a lot of people reading nowadays as well, which is great to see. And you have technology that really enhances the experience, like on Kindle and different things. So it's very easy for a person to, if they want to do a book, to get it out there, to promote it in different places where we never had a chance before. I just hope people really like this book, and I hope it relates to people as well as myself that have gone through loss of people and even mental pressures. So it's just for people to read. I hope they enjoy it.
And it's a great relevance for us on the liturgical calendar, because November is the month of loss, and dealing with the death of loved ones who have passed and who have passed during the year. Yeah. So it's a very appropriate one for the time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. This is a really important time of the year where we need to remember the people that passed. Light a candle in our local churches and just say a prayer for them. They're always with us, I think, in our hearts. So we're never alone, really.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Mark Flanagan.
Thank you.
After the break, the finale to MTU's series of biodiversity events.